The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
He is the award-winning author Dick Morris. The last time we had him on, his book 50 Shades of Politics came out. It has been about 8 months since we talked. There is so much going on. We have Dick Morris on the phone right now. Dick, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well.
All right.
Except for some horrible allergies. Oh, people don't mind how I sound.
Well, Dick, of course, we want to talk with you mainly about things you know, and you had the lay of the land last election on how things were going. So I want to get a sense from you, with all this impeachment investigation going on by the Democrats, Shifty Schiff, and the group that meets in private, is this hurting, helping? What's this doing to Donald Trump?
Well, it's a completely different ring of the circus. and there's the election ring, and then there's the impeachment ring. In the impeachment ring, Donald Trump is running against himself. You either are for or against impeachment, and it's pretty much even at the moment. On the other hand, you don't need even. You need a two-thirds vote to remove him from office. So what is undoubtedly going to happen is that he's going to be impeached in the House, and the Senate will acquit. And it will acquit maybe with a majority vote, but certainly with more than one-third, which is what's necessary to keep him in office. An impeachment will fade from view and will no longer be very important in the election. Part of that is because the impeachment is over the Ukraine and stuff that people basically don't care about, don't know about, and don't care about. And it's not going to register deeply with public opinion. In the election ring of the circus, you have Donald Trump at about 46% of the vote of people who approve of his job. And you have about 54% that don't approve. But the 54% has to be divided into those who will support his opponent and those who won't. And the Democrats are on the verge of nominating Elizabeth Warren, who is totally unelectable, way, way, way too liberal. She'll be destroyed when the old people, seniors, realize that she's going to corrupt Medicare by making it Medicare for all, and there ain't enough room in the lifeboat for everybody. And also, the middle-class Americans will go crazy when they learn that she's taking away their health insurance policy.
Yeah. Dick Morris, let me ask you this. We have talked about the Clintons before. You have guided and advised in the past time. You know the Clintons well. There has been some rumor that Hillary Clinton is just eyeing to get into the race. Do you think that's possible?
Well, I think Hillary desperately wants to get into the race. I think she has a sense of entitlement. I think she thinks she's chosen by God to be the next president, the first woman president, and she feels that's her destiny, and she feels that that's her future. She also has a sense of entitlement, feeling she won the last election in the popular vote, and it was stolen from her by Russian manipulation of the electorate. It's a worldview that is totally skewed from reality, but it is Hillary's view.
What is the beef with Gabbard, with Tulsi Gabbard? I know that that she was quoted in a podcast as talking about a potential third party. There was some misunderstanding whether that was Russians or Republicans because they took the context out of it. But why is she picking a fight with Gabbard?
Well, because she shouldn't have. It was a mistake, and she was basically unscripted. And her bitterness at losing the election just spills over. But you interrupted me before I could finish your previous question. I think that Hillary wants desperately to run. But she understands that with the Me Too movement raging and with the Weinstein scandal, the Epstein scandal raging, and the Weinstein scandal raging, this is not the time for her to surface. And I think that she's hoping that times improve, that the focus on sexual harassment dims a little bit. Her husband would not be on the front lines anymore, she's hoping. And she hopes that Biden fades, which will happen, and that people realize Elizabeth Warren is too left, which will happen, and that people will then turn to her. I think that's unrealistic, because I don't think the Me Too movement is going anyplace. I think it's going to stay there and be a dominant factor in the environment. And until now, the focus in sexual harassment has been on the perpetrator. Increasingly, it's on the victim. And when you look at the victim, Hillary victimized the victims by her secret police that investigated the women who were involved with Bill Clinton and dug up dirt on them. And in this environment, the sexual harassment scandal moves from Bill to Hillary. The scandal is not so much what Bill did, but what Hillary did to the victims. And I think that she can't survive that fundamental change.
Take us over to Joe Biden. Former Vice President Joe Biden always seems to stick his foot in his mouth. He was trying to complain against President Trump using the word lynching, and even CNN outed him and played back the video of him in a 98 interview when he used the word lynching, referring to what was being done in the impeachment against Clinton. How does he do this? How does he step his foot in his mouth like this?
Well, I think he's very slow to learn and very slow to forget. And I think that the habits of a lifetime assert themselves constantly when he's speaking and makes gaffes like that. I think that it's important to understand that apart from impeachment, there's a whole issue of procedure here. And I think Pelosi is taking some fire for not permitting a vote of the House and for having secret impeachment hearings when they should be open, and for not giving the Republicans the right of cross-examination, which they should, of course, have. But I think all of that is going to pale. I think that the results, this is one of those games where you know the answer before you hear the question. He will be impeached, and he will not be removed. So what else is new? And none of the stuff that's going to come up in the impeachment inquiry is going to make a damn bit of difference in the election, because it concerns stuff that most people do not care about.
What do people care about? Their wallet, their livelihood, their jobs?
Well, overwhelmingly jobs in the economy. And by about 2-1, people believe it's doing well. And half of those believe it's going to get even better. Half think it might get worse. And that's a huge factor. And I think that Trump's record, which he's finally putting on television in his advertising, of the jobs created and of the immigration cut in half, illegal immigration and stuff like that, I think is going to really come through and be effective in the campaign. But basically, Trump is going to win this election with negatives against the Democrat, because the most important factor is the Democrats are nominating someone that cannot possibly win. And the effect of the whole Ukraine scandal, ultimately, that is relevant, that matters, is not that it's hurting Donald Trump. It is, but it's not going to be an important factor. But that it's destroying Joe Biden through Hunter and through all of that, his business activities. So it's knocking out the only Democrat who could win.
Dick Morris, you were one of the lone voices I interviewed last time around who stuck with Trump all along and said he is going to win. In the light of all the polls out there that said it was going to be Hillary's night, we're seeing that again. These polls they're putting up on TV, even some of the Fox ones, seem to make it look like Trump has an uphill battle to win the presidency. What's going on with polls?
Yeah, well, there are two polls you can take, three polls. You can take a really cheap poll and interview everybody that answers the phone that's an adult. You can do a moderately expensive poll and only call people who are registered voters. You can do a much more expensive call and only interview registered voters who are likely to vote, because you need to get about five people on the phone before you find the one that you can interview. And Fox News and all the other outlets do not want to pay the extra money for a likely voter poll. Rasmussen is the only one that does that. And the polls are all skewed because they're basically polling people who don't vote and in many cases aren't even registered to vote. But above all, there's not really been a negative campaign against any of the Democrats. So all you're looking at is Trump running against himself. And when you run him against Warren or one of the others, it's a very different situation. In 1972, most of the polls said that Nixon would have a very hard time getting reelected until the world met George McGovern. And then it was clear that nobody could possibly vote for McGovern, and Nixon carried 49 states. That's what you're looking at now.
Do you think a Warren lineup against a Trump is excellent for Trump, because Warren is so far to the left? You mentioned the programs he wants to do, the Medicare for all, and the seniors won't like that. But it goes beyond that. It's just about in every area, her plans aren't really good for even the economy.
Oh, they're terrible for the economy, and they completely remove the incentive to make money and to hire people. And people basically believe in capitalism in the U.S. And there are a few polls that show some interest in socialism, but 80% are capitalists.
Yeah, and what's this deal with the wealth tax that the Democrats want to? You know, you work hard, you build up your wealth, and they want to take a percentage every year just to hang on?
Yeah, they do. And they're trying to do that. The problem with that is that every country that's passed it, five European countries led by Sweden, have had to repeal it because you can't collect it. You can't find the wealth. It's hidden away in the middle of the Mediterranean on a yacht. And you really can't effectively tax it. And in any case, most people understand two things about it. First of all, that while it starts off only at people making $50 million or more, you know how that stuff works. The alternative minimum tax was intended to be only on really rich people. But gradually our incomes increased to a point where many, many, many of us were exposed to the alternative minimum tax.
Yes.
And that's the way it'll go with the wealth tax. We also have property taxes in the United States, and many states have personal property taxes. So we've already paid taxes on our wealth.
Yeah. Why do it again? And of course, so many of the other things.
What's wealth that isn't stocks, which you have the capital gains tax for?
Right.
Real estate, we have the property tax for.
And with that, Dick Morris, we're out of time. I want to mention author of 50 Shades of Politics. We read you at dickmorris.com. He has been a frequent contributor to our program. We thank him so much for being with us today. Dick Morris, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.